to the CFG Gamecast, episode number 211, a weekly podcast created by gamers and streamers alike to discuss the latest gaming topics from the previous week. We stream a new episode every week at the and release it on all podcast services. So do us a favor and show us some love by following, liking, or subscribing to the YouTube channel, the CFG channel, or go to our main website, confreaksandgeeks.com, to not miss an episode. If you want to throw some ducats our way, it's by supporting the podcast. You can by going to the CFG.store, where you can become a CFG VIP member, where you can go and do some, get some awesome incentives like ad-free podcasts, as well as the Let's Watch parties and so much more. So go to the CFG.store. I am Mr. CFG Games himself, Davis Green, and with me today, I'm with my only podcast guest today, the five-star general of the itty bitty Smitty Committee. I got Smitty in the third seat. What's going on, my dude?
Not a whole lot, my friend. Obviously, it is sad. We got sad news, and I'm not going to get into it, but with Toriyama's passing, so we'll talk about that, but excuse me. Other than that, I think we have finally, we did a BIOS. NT, my friend NT, helped me go through and we updated the BIOS on my PC. And we're hoping that either that or something else will stop causing it to just shut down automatically. It happened again the other day. So that was super frustrating. But we think we've got the issues. We were able to play last night, Davis, some Helldivers 2. Mm-hmm. No issues. Rough times for NT, though. literally saw the man get stuck twice and not make an extraction.
That was unbelievable insane. To me. Like, you know, the first time I can understand that it's a game fault, but there's something that he's doing that's causing it to get for that to happen.
I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, duck, man. Just duck in
there. He's getting stuck at the same time. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That was like, insane. It's like, just go to it straight on. Don't quit hitting it from the side.
Jesus.
But, I was like, wow. Obviously, dude, huge updates with Helldivers 2 as well. We got the mechs based from the automatons. Yeah, the automatons and defending Tien Quan location. They put the mechs in the game. They did have issues. They had multiple server spikes that caused issues with people being able to actually buy it or in the stratagems or being able to connect and stuff like that. So they got those things worked out and whatnot. And yeah, we had smooth playing last night other than our own foibles.
Like, yeah, it was really weird. But y'all were playing like really, really late at night, though. Well, for me.
For you, it's really late. Yeah. For us, it's prime gaming hours.
Yeah. So, like, it was. So I was like, golly, it's just because, like, I think I went to bed like around 2 or 3 o'clock. And I was like, man, y'all are just now getting on. It's freaking crazy.
Yeah.
But the game, dude, like, it's Helldivers is fun. I, you know what I was surprised about is how many people were so upset about the update changes because of how they nerfed some of the guns. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was like, thinking to myself, it's not that bad. It really isn't that bad. Right. They just want you to play a different way. I know they're your savior, the railgun, has now been nerfed, so you can't use it as a crutch the way you were crutching on it before. But right, it's like, come on.
Just means you have to play differently.
Exactly.
Like, so yeah, which isn't a bad thing in my opinion. So it keeps it keeps it fresh. And like, that's the thing, man. Like, again, I think this is a great example of a live service game done well. And keeping people's attention spans, changing things up, introducing things, you know, all kinds of stuff. And like, just how they explained, it's like them having a game master that, or they're like live dropping things into people's games and stuff like that. And they're actively doing stuff like, you know, that's what it takes to do a legit live service game. So I hope these people are looking at this as an example and being like, whoa, we're not even close to doing that. We don't want to do the, we've got content until end game and then the loop. And then nobody wants that loop. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do a live service game, make it a live service game. So yeah, I love it. It's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it. I had no idea. I had no plans on getting that game. It was Kenobi that got it for me.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean,
$40 is perfect. It's a perfect price for it.
It is a good price.
I just think that it was good. I still think it's still kind of like we're still in the honeymoon phase of it because it's not that old. It's not a month old at least yet. So I just wanted to see how long it's going to be to keep up with what they're keeping up with the success. And it's not counting against them in any way. It's just we've just gone through this dance so many times as with live service games. It's kind of hard to believe, to trust, to see how long, like, I mean, to see where the dip is going to be, to see the how normal.
I don't know, man. As a person that's played a ton of live service games, this feels different. Mm-hmm. This feels right. This is how you do it. You don't necessarily have to have everything out if it's a live service game. But if you have a plan, and not only that, but they have a target. They're hitting windows as these drop. So new things are coming. You know, they're utilizing social media to push it out like it's a real game that's happening both in real life and on a digital battlefield. And I think what they're doing marketing wise, that, you know, that wise, like, it's like, this is spot on for a live service game. This feels very different. I think that they are doing, like, I think they know what they're doing. I think it's the right way to do a live service game.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be dark or in any way. Yeah. I'm just saying that it's just going to see how it's going to see. Because, I mean, dude, like, these games will inevitably go down with their concurrent viewers. I mean, it's always going to be that way. I just want to see where that dip is going to be, you know, where it's going to show that, like, you know, it's not going to be like how, you know, how Power World fell off to lose 75% of their community.
Which we knew was going to happen.
It's nothing to freak out about, but I'm just saying that, like, but, like, I just want to see the if it's, because right now I think the highest concurrent right now was over almost 500,000.
It was 58,000, I want to say.
So if it drops down to like maybe 300 or 200, then it's cool. Like, I'm saying, like, but we don't want to drop it down to like 20,000 or so. Then it's like, oh, okay. Then we may have.
I don't think that's going to happen until number one, we know that there's going to be other races that are introduced. There's both a North Pole and a South Pole, essentially, to this big ass world or the galaxy grid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think until all factions are out, and then that's going to be essentially the end game. What happens? How do you continue to engage the community doing things? Is there a chance that they expand it even more and introduce a new faction or something like that? I think, like, right now, like, in the way that they time it, like, I feel like it feels like there's always new content coming out, and it feels good as a player because we're not having to pay for, like, these DLCs or anything like that. This is a true live service. This is a continuing story that is building on top of this infrastructure, essentially. So I feel like, you know, and the way that they've been executing so far, like, I think they might be onto something in terms of successfully driving. And we've seen other successful live service games. We've talked about Genshin Impact and some of those. There's Honkai's Star Rail, I think. Destiny, I mean, love it or hate it, you know, they've done it. But, like, even that had its time where it was bad. There wasn't enough content. The loop wasn't there. You know, we saw it with The Division. And I thought The Division was another one that did it pretty well in terms of live service stuff as well. Eventually, once they got their footing. But this, I don't know, something seems different. Something feels different about this one. So only time will tell, obviously.
No, so the month later, it's like, oh, hey, we're going to go with Anthem did.
It's trash.
Hot garbage. Yeah, but anyways, but, like, I've just been up to, I just started Final Fantasy VII Rebirth a couple of days ago. Finally got my copy, and I'm still at the very beginning. Like, I just started the flashback, the calm flashback, which is, that whole scene is so much better in this one than it was.
I haven't even purchased the game yet, dude.
Yeah. If you're not in any hurry, I mean, it's not going anywhere. Just if you don't. So I'm looking forward to looking forward to that. Then I've been playing a little bit of Helldivers, but I've been enjoying that as well. So it's been taking a lot of my time with those two, just those two alone, or when I do play games. So, but then again, and then the one that I'm really wanting to play is Project Overlord is the one I'm wanting to play, that one from VanillaWare. I got a key for it, but I just can't wait to sit down and try it out when I get a chance to. So I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, it's been a pretty good week when it came to gaming. So, but anyways, I know y'all don't want to talk about the strategies of the with the Helldivers and Helldivers 2 and stuff that we like to do, which basically the strategy in that game is run, because it's not like most of the times it's like, oh, this
is slow in getting that T to realize that. Like, look, dude, you gotta, surviving is more important than trying to shoot some things. You're just gonna get overrun.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, we'll get through the normal rigmarole that we like to do each and every week. So each of us chooses a topic of discussions in the world of video games that happened in the previous week. The topic would or could be a game itself or something that happened in the gaming industry. And we don't want to talk about it amongst ourselves. We want you, the listeners and viewers on Twitch, YouTube, and on Kick to be a part of the conversation. So if there's something you wanted to chime in about on whatever we talk about, by all means, just type it inside the chat. We would love to discuss it with you live on while we record this. So let's get this started. I guess I'll go first on this, because I think this is without a doubt really, really important. It was actually kind of funny because we had the conversations like if we should or we shouldn't. I was like, absolutely. We absolutely have to. There's no way. So. Unfortunately, with some sad news is initially to start this off was the passing of an icon in not only anime but also in gaming as well. Like we grew up with his anime series and his mangas and the gaming, but Akira Toriyama sadly passed away at the age of 68. He had essentially a blood aneurysm is the reason why, like what was his cause of death. And it came out of nowhere. Like I was, when that happened, it was I was in a D&D session and, I get a ping and it's like on the Dragon Ball site and it says like, oh, so-and-so, the passing of, Akira Toriyama. And if you don't know who Akira Toriyama is, which I'm pretty sure everyone does, but just to kind of give a quick school lesson here with who Akira Toriyama is. Akira Toriyama was born in 1955. In 1980, he had his first chance to, he became an artist at the age of 21, I believe. Was that right? Yeah, at the age of 21, he was 1976, he became a manga artist. He then got his chance to be featured in one of his manga arts in Shonen magazines in 1980. And his first big series that he did was called Dr. Slump. So he used to use some of the characters for like one of the girls, the little girl with the purple hair. I think her name was like Arella or something like that. That was like a robot, but was freakishly strong. So he had a whole series of Dr. Slump mangas, still popular to this day, surprisingly. There is a fan base for him. But then the big one did create Dragon Ball in the late 80s and 86 or so. But during that time, he did something that not a lot of artists kind of did, especially in this position that he was in as a manga artist. It was that he also did the art of a new RPG called Dragon Quest during that time. And I mean, like Final Fantasy is popular, but Dragon Quest in Japan still to this day is insane. So Dragon Quest is like times 100 of what Final Fantasy fans are here. So he was the lead creator of the style of the art and everything of the Dragon Quest series forever. And how it is to this day. Then he did it again out of a random RPG on the Super Nintendo called Chrono Trigger, which was just
one of my all-time favorite games.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's just amazing. Like when you really think about like just art design and stuff like his style to this day, like the style of his characters and stuff like that inspired big people like Ichiro Oda, the creator of One Piece. He's even said on the record that he was inspired by Akira Toriyama, that made him want to go into manga and art and stuff like that to this day. Creator of Bleach, same thing. It's just like without Toriyama, I don't think that the level of like, you know, people's like inspirations and as well as, you know, their motivations to get into the like, you know, the industry would have been there today. He was a giant. I mean, like shy as hell, because apparently it was hard to find photos of him. but his work just does the talking for him. I mean, like everyone in America knows Dragon Ball, like in the U.S. Because Dragon Ball was one of the series that kind of was the infantile state that actually truly started anime, bringing anime more seriously here to the States when the founder of Funimation got the rights to fully get it done. I mean, don't get me wrong, Dragon Ball was here before, back, like in the 90s and stuff, but it was nowhere near as serious as when they did. When they decided to bring the rest of it after Cell, after Frieza, the Frieza story and stuff. So it's unbelievable. And unfortunately, he was in the process of making a new game, a new series that he was one of his IP series that he created called Sandland, that's coming out on next month actually. For PlayStation and for Xbox and PC, which is a story in itself. And I didn't know this. They're making a series, an anime series out of it.
Hulu, I had no idea.
Yeah, Hulu got the rights for it. So it's going to be on Hulu. It's just sad to hear that we lost a good legend in this kind of industry. So with Dragon Ball, and I mean, and you, Smithy, of all people, because I mean, you grew up in Japan, during that time when he was in his like, you know, prime days, where Dragon Ball new weekly episodes of Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z was coming out, like it must kind of hit kind of different for you too. Like, how'd you hear?
Dude, it was absolutely absolutely devastating. You know, it's like I definitely shed some tears. It's still like, because you know, that's what I grew up, you know, that was the cartoon we watched when we lived over there and stuff like that. Couldn't understand it was all in Japanese. But, you know, it still had that much of an impact, excuse me. And then moving over to the States and then seeing it come over here, I was so happy for me, because I can, number one, understand it and finally, you know, be able to understand what they were actually saying. We'd make up our own thing. We got the gist, though. You can get the gist, you know, and but, you know, finally doing that. But then being able to continue where I left off from over there. I never thought I'd get to, you know, see how the Majin Buu series ended, because we left like towards the beginning of that. So, like, you know, like, I mean, just such a big impact on me and just growing up and all that stuff. So, you know, obviously legendary and Chrono Trigger. And I forgot too, like just how much, cause like Dragon Ball really comes out to me, but I forgot how much and how intertwined he also was within the video game world and the video game industry as well. So it's like truly just, you know, out of nowhere. And especially the fact that, you know, he's in the middle of these projects right now too. So, you know, that, you know, this is the last works that he's gonna have his hands on, you know, in our lifetime. So it's just it's really sad, because what he was able to do was bring this not only here, you know, in the United States, but globally. You know, something about these anime where people connected with the characters, the artistry, the everything about them, he was able to do that. He was able to communicate with people without being able to speak their language. He spoke a different language, and he did that with his art and the work that he produced. So, you know, absolutely, absolutely devastating news. I'm not one to really, you know, celebrity news or whatever type of things, but like, this one, I feel, goes way deeper than that, because this guy shared his, not only his talent, but his world and his mind with us through his art and his storytelling.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's like everyone knows what Dragon Ball is at this point, you know, like it, like it's a household name. Like even now, like, I mean, you think about like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day, the Goku, the Goku blue, like float. It's just like, you know, I mean, it's like, when you seriously think about, like, you know, when it comes to pop culture and then the fact that, I mean, we all, I mean, you, Smitty and I are nerds. We know that, like we're like, if you tell us what Dragon Ball Z is, we can probably give you a good in-depth of what Dragon Ball Z is. But it's a different story if, let's say it's my mom, if she could say, oh, that's Goku, then something's right was done, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. It's just
spanning,
like,
over generations.
Exactly.
So many different generations, dude. Like, It's crazy to be able to accomplish that and do that with these characters, with these stories, with these games, you know, and so many. I mean, Chrono Trigger is, dude, like, is in my opinion, top five RPG games. I need to go back and play it again. I haven't played it as an adult. I played it as a kid, but that is one that I beat. And I absolutely loved it. So it was like, I'd love to go back and play that again. I didn't even realize that was him.
Really? His art is is quite distinctive, man.
it completely makes sense, but I never, you know, I never at the time or later on, like, looked at it. You know what I mean? So
look at it.
I just didn't, you know, I just know I'm literally going off my childhood memories. So I mean, really, I need to go back, like a lot of things like that. I need to go back and play them just to see if they hold up as an adult. I did that with dinosaurs, and I think it was even more important as an adult.
More important as an adult. Dinosaurs are more important as an adult.
They were talking about the real issue, son. Like,
so ridiculous.
It was wild.
Oh, wait, are we talking about, like, not the mama?
Not the mama.
Oh, my God, what's wrong with you? You are a menace. That's what it is. You are just a straight up menace. More important.
No, dude.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, definitely the world has definitely lost an icon when it comes to this. And it's just, it's like, it's sad, but at the same time, you're right. It's like, you got to celebrate, like, this guy's craft. I mean, this is, like, overall, like, I think that he definitely he definitely left something strong, for a legacy of what he, what was created. Cause you know, what's funny to me, it's like, and this is just the straight up truth. I mean, as what you can be an anime fan or good with the genre, animes come and go because there's just so many episodes there's just so many titles that are just being spewed out in just the summer, 12 episodes and so. But like, Dragon Ball was created in the mid 80s and we are still talking about it to this day. And like, you know, I mean, when you're seriously thinking about
it. It's just as relevant.
Yeah, yes,
the
exactly.
The story continues, man.
How many times have how many games in its span? Like don't get me wrong. Like, the first game of Dragon Ball started on a Nintendo NES system. And now we're at PlayStation 5. Right now, plus on top of the fact that, like, the story has not changed, like the core story of Dragon Ball Z has not changed, and we've gone through the story multiple times in different kinds of ways in several different kinds of video games throughout its history. Even the most recent one, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, it was basically the story one-to-one in a video game format, and it's still freaking good. Like, people still love it. It's just, it's like, yeah, it's been told.
It's awesome being able to be do the things and, like, power up.
Like, yeah, it's just like, yeah, and I think that's what the biggest thing is. Like, folks just wants to power up. That's just what it is. Folks wants to.
Tell me you've never tried like to power up not. In real life just to check.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's like, is this possible?
Just to see. Is this latent energy in me? I don't know. Only one way to find out.
Yes. Will I be able to power up? Will I be able to power up strongly and then just go Super Saiyan 3 and all that stuff? Yeah, it was devastating. And Riz says, honestly, grieving Akira Toriyama, I've been a wreck for these past years. Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's seriously. Just... It's just like what you said, Smitty. Like, you don't usually kind of mourn for these kind of celebrities and stuff like that, but like, and I don't either. But it's like, that one was a blow, dude. Like, we weren't even expecting it. It's just like, it's like, I tried powering up flying instant transmission all of it. You know, you just get your hand in the middle, you know? It's like, I wonder where did it happen, that whole thing, you know? It's
like, wait a second, I made a sound effect.
I loved it, though. But, like, I'm definitely going to try out, definitely wanting you to try out Sandland and,
There's Dragon Ball, is it Daimia?
Shining, Daimia. You're talking about the series.
Or Daimia or something like that. Yeah. So that's coming out. As well.
Mm-hmm.
And forget, there's a Dragon Ball. What was it?
Sparkling Blast or something. Sparkling Zero or something like that. Yeah. That one didn't look good to me, but like, I don't usually like those 3D kind of game, the 3D kind of fighting games. It kind of throws me off a lot. Although I loved Budokai. Budokai 3 was so good. Someone told me that Tenkaichi 2 was good too. Yeah.
But, I remember, dude. Like, we had a Super Nintendo, and there's a trick you can get Super Famicom games, and if you take a butter knife and etch in the notches, there were notches, it would fit into a Super Nintendo.
That was a physical DMCA right there. I remember that. Yeah,
we absolutely may or may not have done that.
You know, like, did you unscrew it, or did you actually you said a butter knife?
It was literally like just a butter knife and etching in so it would fit into the
I unscrewed my top and then just cut it off. Yeah. You know, it's funny, actually I have a Chrono Trigger Super Famicom.
That's sick.
Actually, hold on, let me see if I can find it.
All right, That's pretty dope.
Go converse amongst yourselves.
T2 was, I can't remember if I don't think I played those. I know like Kakarot was sick. I actually got the DLC for that, the first one that they came out with, but like, I never even ran through it. I still need to go through that stuff. I just continued moving on. I never watched GT, which is terrible. I need to go back. I understand the gist of Dragon Ball, but I never actually watched Dragon Ball. I started with
Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball is my favorite one. This is the Dragon Ball series because it wasn't crazy.
Like, he said it wasn't crazy.
No, I mean, like,
Dragon Ball Z. That was game footage for Sandman. Yeah.
Everyone likes Dragon Ball Z. I mean, as well as they should. Dragon Ball Z was a fun series, but like, Dragon Ball wasn't like, they didn't write off their character team. Like, because like, the rest of the series of Dragon Ball Z was about, you had to be Saiyan to be relevant. If you weren't, then you're just in the way.
Basically, they made everybody irrelevant.
They did.
So you guys got this right. We got the, we're gonna go help out the folks.
Yeah,
get out of town.
Yeah. Even Dragon Ball Super was like that. Dragon Ball Super was even worse because they're like, okay, I mean, they Piccolo powered they up
beyond that.
Yeah, but it's like, oh my god, so. Like, Yamcha was a joke. Not saying that he wasn't before all of that, but he was just even more a joke. Then you got then you have what's called Chiaotzu and what's his name, Tien. Nothing. Okay, so here it
Tien's
is.
Tien's moment was against Cell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. And he knew it. Yeah. He knew it. So yeah. So when I went to Japan, I got a five. Yeah, I got a Chrono Trigger for 500 yen, which was $4.
Wow.
Yeah, it was funny.
That's sick.
I was like, oh, I got to get this one just for nostalgia.
Yeah.
When I go to Japan next time, I'm going to get some systems. Because they had some real, like some of these systems
were cheap. I bet that stuff is cheap, dude.
Yeah, some of them were. It was insane. The big one I wanted to get was a Sega Saturn, but... It was too, I just didn't have space in my carry-on. So right. Made me sad. But yeah, but anyways, but rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Thank you for the great memories that you had when I was a kid and growing up as well. And it's just like, just wanted to know, and thank you. I mean, this is the biggest thing because it's unbelievable, dude. That you're gone. I guess what was sad was that it, what's even sadder about that was it just came out of nowhere. He wasn't sick. He wasn't like injured. No one knew that he was like, you know, deteriorating or any way. It just happened. And it's like, oh, there you go. You know?
Right.
So that's just terrible.
See you in the upper world.
Yeah. Smithy, what's like, you said you never watched GT?
I never watched GT either. Nope.
Oh, wow. You didn't sit down.
I'm going to go back to Dragon Ball and just watch everything in totality. Because I think I even might have missed some things from Z too. Because there are things that happen in the Majin Buu series. So I'm like, I don't remember that.
Yeah. So. Dragon Ball. The Majin Buu was great. Was I didn't like it as much as I like. Fun fact, you know, he wanted to finish it after Cell. He didn't want to do the
Dragon Ball. Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, he didn't want the Majin Buu. The only reason why they did it was because it was so popular. That they they decided to give it one more storyline. So I was like, wow. So yeah. So that's why if you've watched Dragon Ball Z Kai or Dragon Ball Kai, they cut the Buu series completely. They just stop at the Cell Saga. And that was it.
Oh, what's Kai?
Well, Kai was like it was a short series that kind of condensed all the stories because you know like some of the three episodes of Powering Up was really like, you know, 5 minutes.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Those are some serious power-ups.
It is what it is. Well, hey, you gotta call a spade a spade there. I'm sorry. But anyways. Anyways, Smitty, what are you bringing to the table?
So I wanted to at least bring this up. This one, well, which one do I start with? I know we talked about, or at least I believe we did the other day, how, and I know here a couple episodes ago, about the regulations over in Europe, essentially this digital marketing, it's the DMA, I think. I'm totally spacing on the name of it. But essentially, it made it so that Apple can't have this lockdown market. People out, third-party vendors could bring their own stores to Apple devices. They're essentially changed those regulations. So people had to apply to be developers over there in Europe, and Epic Games had applied to for a developer account there and whatnot, and they ended up banning and tossing the account in pure just... I don't know. It feels kind of petty and spiteful from it. And they were looking at it and whatnot. And essentially, they're going to end up, what could happen is they could end up being, or they would end up being in violation of this new, the DMA regulations. And so not only that, but then Epic, because Epic also won a case against them where they lost over here. They actually won in Europe. Which kind of started this whole thing. But I think they've multiple things been happening at the same time in terms of this. So here the other day, they went and Apple has reversed that decision and they are reinstating their development account for Epic. So that means in Europe, they are again going to be able to get Fortnite and have Fortnite on iOS, which is huge, which is going to be outside of the Apple store. So Epic essentially will be able to charge their own prices and whatnot. And again, I don't know what that looks like. I imagine there's some percentage that they get from it or something. I'm not even 100% sure on that. I need to do a little more diving into that. But I don't know. It's kind of weird, this back and forth of what's happening. I feel like the implications, especially in the digital space, is, you know, they're huge because essentially they're what they're saying is that Apple's monopolizing their economy by not allowing other developers. And we know a lot of digital space is kind of unregulated or regulated weird and like kind of like old laws and stuff like that. And like the digital space has changed immensely from when there was any kind of, you know, if there even was things that are looking at it, they don't understand it and whatnot. So like the fact that these things are coming into play now, I feel like that happening over in Europe is absolutely huge in what's going to happen in the rest of the place in the rest of the world. So,
yeah, well, like incredibly petty, I would say, for Apple side of things. But at the same time, I'm not surprised. It's it must feel like Apple had a bad taste in their mouths because they know that Epic messed around with their money stream, and they're like, oh yeah, we didn't forget about y'all, you know. And but what sucks is that one company has that kind of power to change, make or break a company is way too excessive. And what's even worse is that it's not like it's kind of not entirely Apple's fault, but rather how government allowed them to get to the situation that they're in,
right?
Because technically the iPhone is their technology. Apple was made under deal, and then when they did create the App Store was really the only thing that was around. There was no competition at the time when it was created. But now it gets to a point that when Epic was, you know, when Epic did question it, like, I think that was 3 years ago when all this went down, questioned it. Then it was like, how dare they try to change the system, even though that system was so one-sidedly Apple. And then but the funny thing about it is the fact that they still remembered it. And they're like, and then they're just like, we know you. You're the guys that made this made this dance so relevant for us in the first place. And like, and you think you want to be, and you have the audacity to ask us to be on our marketing, on our market? It's like, go F off. I'm like, I can kind of see why they did it, but at the same time, it's like, wow, that is really petty. Like, why would you? It's like, listen, what's done is done at this point. You just gotta man up and just deal with it. But you got to admit, they have a point. They have a point. Because like, it was weird. I don't know if you know about this, but did you know that there's an extra fee that is charged above for apps like that on an Apple before all this was made. That there was a additional fee of money that was put in that was merged into the apps that you had to purchase on an Apple iPhone, and that extra fee was compensating for what the extra fee was for what Apple was charging those apps in the first place to be on their platform. I'm just thinking, I don't know if it's like that now. Well, especially I don't know if it's like that over there now, but. It's I just find it funny. So I guess the real question is like, what made them change their minds? Like, did they just say, the guys, it's like, it's not going to make us, it's not going to make us look good in any way if we deny Epic Games.
Well, the fact that they already lost to them means that they would lose to them again. And that would give them the ability to show that, look, because like, and I misspoke, they didn't have an account. They were denying them an account. And yeah, now they've allowed them to create an account, essentially. So, you know, they said that there was assurances that were made by Epic Games that they wouldn't violate their terms like they did over here or whatever. So, I mean, it's all weird, like, pissing contests, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, I guess
this billionaire. Yeah. But I also feel like it has a lot of implications in terms of what can be done on a lot of other levels as well, in like stores and rules. It gives it kind of a blanket clause that people can then reference as opposed to it being like a one-off thing for each individual case.
Well, like, I guess I don't understand though too either. So like, they're saying that they're making a developer account in Apple, like in Apple's platform. So are they still using Apple's as their way to pay pay for like, you know, V-Bucks and stuff, or do, can they make their own?
It would be their own store. And this is also the other important thing about this is also the fact that you got to think about Xbox and Microsoft. This also means that they can have their, so essentially in Europe at some point, I imagine you'll be able to stream games natively on your iPhones via an app. You know, right now, like you can over here with Backbone, but that's like going through an app type of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas this would be native directly from like if you had like GeForce Now or something, but it would just be native. So like all your Game Pass games and whatnot, you'll be able to play. So the thing about this though is that, and this is a lot of times in terms of regulations like this have come out of Europe first, and then they kind of spread outward, and then you start seeing other countries adopt this. So I wouldn't be surprised. It's called the Digital Marketing Act, is what went into place, which essentially is saying that Apple cannot, not Apple specifically, but nobody can just say that we own this and you have to go through us in order to be able to have a store that also sells things. So,
yeah.
Okay. You know, obviously that has a huge negative impact on Apple's financials as well. Again, I don't know what the details of that look like or what they were charging people, but I imagine that's also going to mean that they're not going to be able to make as much money via the process that they had ongoing that was all self-contained.
Okay, I see. So. Ooh, God, what a mess. But,
battle that keeps going on.
I know, right? It's like I thought we were over this, but apparently it's still going. My God, it is like
don't worry. It's kind of funny. Google's doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, Google's was seeing how it was going to be like for Epic, and then if Epic was going to be they've successful been waiting in the
wings, like
exactly. Because they're like, why are we paying extra to just get on their stupid platform? It's so dumb that that's how it's always been because it's monopolized. That's why,
right?
For the longest of time, and it, right. And because like it's not like third parties. Were ever allowed to have their own form, like, you know, their own payment system or system. You had to go through Apple's system to do it, and that's what
right.
That's what was really frustrating for a lot of people, for a lot of folks and stuff. And you know what's funny? If they it's so funny because if they opened up that policy, it would immediately apps immediately could be on both apps day one, as opposed to, oh, this is going to be solely on Apple, or this is going to be solely on Android for a little bit until they can convert right. It and stuff like that. It'd be so much easier. But then again, I guess it's extra money that Apple doesn't want to get rid of. So
that's what it boils down to. Cuts into them profit margins.
It really does. That's it's just so funny when it's.
Yeah, dude. You can't mess with people's pockets, man. Corporation or Joe Schmo, like, they're gonna have a problem with this.
They will
like,
definitely
bite this dude's a nail.
I'm gonna cut you. I'm definitely gonna cut you.
What you mean? You want to cut a hole in my pocket? Mm-mm.
It's like I gotta eat. That's basically what that is. Oh my goodness! But I mean, okay, we'll see how this is gonna go. But I just find it so petty of Apple to do that. But at least they corrected themselves. You know?
Yeah.
They made Epic
sweat. It would have been corrected. They would have had no choice.
Oh, definitely.
At least in Europe. Or they just had to pay like $2 billion. $2 billion.
What country is that?
Really, that's in Hubei Shuibi. It's a very reclusive country.
Yes.
$2 billion. They had a $2 billion fine that they had to pay over there. So I imagine they didn't want to have to deal with something like that again. So it makes sense. They're just on some petty.
You know, if they got away, you know, they could get away with that if it was a smaller company, but if it was Epic Games, they actually have the money to keep up with the kind of the lawyers that they would need to make it into something. So yeah, you're totally right. They're like, nope. Nope, we've seen this dance before, and they back it up. So,
well, and what they were saying was that they blatantly and openly violated their policies before here in the States. Why would we? That's why they were denying them over there. So yeah, that's what they were saying, the reason that they were denying them.
But that was 3 years ago, though. It's not like
we reserve the right to not allow people to be on our thing if they've broken terms of service.
But dude, that was 3 years ago. They didn't even. So wait, is Epic Games still not on here in the States?
I don't think it's in the States, dude. At least not on Apple. There's no Fortnite on Apple.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So they basically because they won the lawsuit, and then they basically just kicked them off. But if the rules are different in a different state, it's like that logic is like not doesn't make sense at that point.
Right.
Because it's like okay, it's
like not what? Even a different. That's a whole different country.
Yeah.
A whole
that's different what I'm continent. Saying. I mean.
Like if it's like, illegal, we know these guys. We know these guys. They're banned over here. They're not coming in.
It's like, but we didn't break TOS. Anything.
TOS. Yeah, we already band hammered them.
Yeah, it's like we already band hammered them for the illegal over there, but completely legal over here. It's like that would have been real cool to have Fortnite with those new Apple glasses. You know, it'd be also real cool for those Apple glasses that cost $3,500.
They're not for us, man. Those were not built for us, my friend. They probably in the pipeline, maybe even this year, they'll announce some sort of consumer version, I'm guessing.
What do you mean consumer version? You're talking about Apple.
If they were smart, that's true. They may not. I wouldn't be, look at like if you think about iPhones, they all of a sudden came out with the iPhone SEs and the different crazy cool colors, but they don't have all the extra technical.
That's true, but you're talking about
maybe the pro dude money.
Dude, like this is what's gonna be is like, oh here's money. The Here's the Apple Visor Pro or whatever, $3,500. Oh, okay, this is going to be the consumer version, $3,000.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, the Apple AR
comes in red.
It's just painted. It just says the word red. It just says the word red on it, and then it'll be like, oh, it's only going to be $3,000 because like, oh, this is the cool one. No, that
sold.
Yeah, it's like okay, here you go. Oh my God!
That'd I mean, see, dude, look at PSVR 2. They are struggling. They're already talking about which was dumb for them not to come out with PC support, but mm-hmm. they're in talks and trying to work on getting PC support to PSVR 2. They limited the amount of units they could sell based off the units of PlayStation 5 they had sold and were projecting to sell. I knew that, dude. I said from the off the gate, this is not going to go well for them because it's not open to enough people. There's not enough out there for a person to go and buy a PlayStation 5 and then on top of that drop another $550 for a freaking VR headset with limited games that is tied to a PS5. You can't even play any other games other than games that are PS5. Like they put too many limitations on themselves. So it's not surprising seeing that.
I think that even if they did it, I just don't think that this for them to make the VR, you know, it's cause like, you know what it reminds me of? And it's not a one-to-one comparison, but it reminds me of the camera for the Xbox 360,
you know, the Kinect,
the Kinect, you know, with that kind of technology, it's like, oh, look at all the cool stuff you could do with the Kinect and stuff like that. It's just like, it was a little bit of a hotness, but then they realized this is a stupid accessory. The problem with the VR2 is not only that it's ridiculously expensive for what it is. I mean, because it's a cost just if not more than the PS5, it's been very shaky on the game content that was coming on it in the first place, especially. Like the studios that were making the I think the best game that they said that's on it is that Horizon VR game Horizon, that came out.
Yeah,
but like it's not it wasn't worth the risk to for people, because people are not going to just go out there and just say, okay, I want to buy this this immediately, because it's like $550. You're literally spending $1,000 to for everything to work on this system. And they just need to cut the ties on this, and just which they kind of have been. They've closed the studios that were that had support, that was supporting the VR games a lot for it. And I think it's going to be on an island of irrelevance at the end of the year, to be honest with you, at this point, the pace that they're going. So whatever. Okay, well anyways, why don't you give us the final topic, Smitty. I know you had another topic too to talk about.
So I had to talk, well, oh man, which one do I talk about? Let's just talk about, just the way that everything, like all the layoffs and stuff like that, that's been going on. I wanted to talk about a company that's doing the opposite. Capcom Japan is actually increasing their starting salaries for folks, and giving, it's a 25% increase from like $1,500 a month to $2,000 a month. Now you may be thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like a lot of money, and it's not. They ain't getting paid shit over there. However, that's why they aren't having cuts. They are bringing people in, and somehow they are convincing people that $2,000 is enough to live on. $2,000 a month. You know, that ain't going to cut it over here, but that might be something. But more importantly too, there's also an increase in the folks that are also already working there. They're getting like things like bonuses and salary increases as well. So it's always nice, especially just how volatile both last year and this year has been in the gaming industry, to see a company go and Capcom kind of taking, hey man, we've had some successes, we've had some great hits come out there, you know what I mean, there's been all kinds of things that have come out within like last year and a half, to see some of that success being put into the human factor of what makes a game studio, and the people that are creating these games that people are enjoying and putting their time and money into, you know, I love to see it. I love to see that. And you know, I feel like it's kind of, we talked about this or a podcast that I work with and watch, Real Time Strategy. They talked about how Nintendo, when they had their gaming crisis within the Wii U, how it was their CEO and whatnot that forfeited their some of their money and stuff like that. Now, I don't know if that was self-imposed or forced, but instead of getting rid of employees, they gave up salary to be able to continue and kind of weather that storm, which then from that came the Switch. So I love seeing that, you know, they obviously are about their money and stuff like that, but you've got people there that it seems like they care about the human element way more than what we've seen in the gaming industry. So it's really encouraging. And I wanted to at least bring that to light to people, so it's not all doom and gloom in terms of what's going on with the gaming industry. So just wanted to know what your thoughts were on it, and you know, get a little end on a happier note instead of freaking layoffs and stuff.
I'm just like $2,000. Well, I mean, this is the this is intro, so this is everyone's getting paid, so
right,
keep that in mind. But however, $2,000 is crazy. And you know the way, do you know how you get paid bi-weekly over in you get paid monthly there. Like you get one paycheck of the month, and then you have to budget yourself for a whole month at $2,000. And I'm just thinking to myself, that is, I just can't even imagine that, to be honest.
I live in the world's smallest apartment.
Exactly. Now it's understandable why sometimes those apartments are literally like one bedroom of everything, you know? It's like, Jesus.
That is brutal.
But, yeah, because it's like, well, what's your salary of the year? Oh, it's $24,000 is my salary. It's like, ooh, crap. Okay. But anyways, I'm sorry, I digress. Yeah, I mean, it is a good break of everything that we've seen, all in the doom and gloom in the world of game, in the world of the gaming markets and stuff. But the biggest thing is, like, I just hope that their climate, because I mean, the big thing is the crunch times and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Of that, they're not being driven into a level of exhaustion that you would be like, this is terrible for these individuals to be going into these kind of things. And these people are grunts at that point, like, you know, the introduction. So they're going to be the person in line to be doing, cause, like, believe it or not, like, anime and video game marketing programmers and stuff like that are, like, insane, are driven like dogs when it comes to getting stuff done
on
animation studios and stuff. So hopefully
I've talked to, like, Donk them, dude. Like, I was like, geez, dude. Like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
I can't even, like, it's scary to think, like, the level of work that the individuals have to do just to get stuff done. Like it's a miracle to see how people can do 12 episode series of anime and stuff. Even prior to, even when you think about, like, everything is now done on computers. Like, can you imagine, like, how everything was done on cells back in, like, the 90s? It's like, oh my god. Okay, but anyways, digressing.
Yeah,
the idea of them to get the pay raise is, like, it's awesome. It must be that Capcom is also doing pretty good, has been working fairly well, even though Street Fighter 6 has been selling fairly well consistently. I guess Exo Primal wasn't a failure in their eyes, so I guess there you go. On that,
they're still doing things with, yeah. I love Exo Primal, yeah, dude. Like, I love what they're doing with that too. Like, I'd like content a little more frequently, but it's there. It's a thing.
Yeah. Then you got the big one's going to be Dragon's Dogma 2, which is coming out in a couple of weeks as well. So, like, yeah, I mean, it's good to see that they're actually taking care. There are, I mean, I guess money wise, you're seeing a company doing the reverse of what everyone is doing. Like, everyone's just, like, leaving is dropping to keep up with gaming trends but they're actually advising the hire, which is very funny to me, because, like, they say they get record breaking levels of profits, and yet they're like, okay, we got to drop 8%. Embracer's imploding in itself right now, so, like, we'll be seeing, yeah, and stuff like that. You're seeing how crazy all this nonsense is happening right now. It's a good change of pace. Let's just say that for now. So yeah. I definitely love it for the most part. To hear it about it, you know. So
I love to, yeah. Even though, I mean, and, you know, I don't know how significant that is. I mean, obviously, it's more money, so more money is more money. You know what I mean? Which is a good thing for those that are working there. But yeah, just with all the layoffs and stuff like that we hear and talk about, hearing W's like that, like, you gotta throw those out there as well.
gotta win sometimes in some ways. So
yeah, exactly.
Get it when you can.
Can't be all else.
Yeah, very much so. But anyways, folks, thank you for listening to episode number 211 of the CFG Gamecast. Thank you for being a part of the conversation, as always. If you missed out on this episode, that is perfectly all right. We do release these episodes every week at the beginning of on Monday, each and every week. So there is absolutely no reason to miss out on all sexy voices.
Ooh.
Yes, guys. Also, be sure to check out, I'm off this week because I'm going to, this week on the CFG game, Pop Culture Gems, I'm going to be celebrating my birthday. So we'll go, but next week we'll be getting some pretty cool conversation, going into some pretty cool conversations. Go to our main website, confreaksandgeeks.com, where you can check the full layout of everything. Or, like I said, to support us on the show, go to the CFG.store. where you can get some awesome incentives as always. So, once again, this is Davis and Smitty signing off. Y'all, take it easy.